It just seems like we're just getting started and we're already at the home stretch. So a little review, because this evening's topic picks up from this morning's topic. What are the four things Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur outlined with his mission? That is, fulfilling the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the manifesting in this world, the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Moksha are the basis. Utility is the principle. Preaching is the essence. Purity is the force. So we spoke about purity is the force. So we're not necessarily saving the best for last, but the essence. Nowadays, in the politically correct world, preaching is not a good term. It's outreach. So I've been told anyway, by the politically correct people. But Bhaktisiddhanta used that word and Srila Prabhupada used that word. So preaching is the essence. To expand, which is our topic, to increase or expand this flow of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, purity is required. On the board here, I don't know, maybe you can't see it so well, the bottom line, Abhyalika Vrata Dritaha. This is second canto, ninth chapter. This is Lord Brahma, verses preceding his darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the verse is saying that the Supreme Lord was pleased by his non-deceptive penance, vrata, vow, and avyalika, non-deceptive. So, deception, or pretense, going back to this morning's topic, the purity topic, where the words of Vasudev Datta were not pretense, wasn't pretty sounding, but you know, he really didn't mean it. That would be pretense. But the austerity that Lord Brahma underwent was for a very singular purpose, like the purpose of Hiranyakashipu. It was for a different singular purpose. It was for something material. But the purpose of the austerity of Lord Brahma was to achieve the favor of the Personality of Godhead so that he could serve him properly, understand his own identity and the Lord's identity, and serve him properly. Non-deceptive penance brings purity, and with that purity, the mercy of the Personality of Godhead enters into one's life, and then one can distribute that mercy. So, the distribution of mercy, in one sense, is a simple definition of what preaching is. Receiving and giving that which one has received, the mercy of Krishna, and giving that mercy of Krishna in some form or another. A classic from Lord Chaitanya's association, well, there's actually two, there's actually many, but Kurma and Vasudev. Kurma was a Brahmin in a place called Kurmakshetra, because their principal deity that's worshipped at Kurmakshetra is a deity of Kurmadev. And succinctly, very short description, when Lord Chaitanya left Jagannath Puri in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the first place that Lord Chaitanya went that's mentioned is Kurukshetra. So it's direct due south of Puri on the South Indian tour. And he went to see the deity of Kurma. And he met Kurma Brahman, who invited him to come to his home. And all evening long and all night long and into the morning, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Kurma Brahman were discussing the topic of Krishna. And in that association, Kurma became completely attached to Lord Chaitanya. So much so that when the morning came and it was time for Lord Chaitanya to continue on his journey, guess what? Kurma wanted to go with him. He was a householder. He had family. He had, you know, responsibilities. He had his duties. But he wanted to go with Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya told him, in essence, you stay with your family, stay and perform your duties, and wherever you go, whomever you meet, tell them this message about Krishna. And by so doing, you will feel my presence and you will again be with me very soon. I'd like to read this. This is the famous Yadi Deka Tadekaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Agyai Guru Hanatare Desh. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. It doesn't say that in the verse, but it's Krishna Upadesh. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further advised the Brahmin of Kurma, if you follow this instruction, your materialistic life at home will not obstruct your spiritual advancement. Very similar to what Lord Nrisimhadeva said to Prahlad Maharaj, rule the kingdom, you don't want anything material, that's all right. Rule the kingdom. In the kingdom there'll be incredible opulence. But don't worry. You won't become enamored or attracted by that opulence by just always remembering me. Of course, Prahlad has that capacity. His purity allowed him to always remember the personality of Godhead. And that way, you won't be bewildered by the opulent situation of a royal family life. And here's a Brahmana living at home. So we're not royal kings, but we're being trained to become Brahmana Vaishnavas. To become Vaishnavas means to become a Brahmana. We're being trained in that way. And I see a few householders in the audience here. And in that situation, how to advance in spiritual life while seeing to the duties that you have. It's not that you go travel with Lord Chaitanya and then your life can become perfect. Indeed, if you follow these regulative principles, we will again meet here. Or rather, you will never lose my company. Shishirada Damodar Ki. I'm doing this purposely so that we have scriptural references. Prabhupada writes in the purport, the real purpose of human life is to attain the spiritual platform and return to Godhead. That is the summum bonum of spiritual realization. The Krishna consciousness movement is trying to elevate human society to the perfection of life. That's what preaching is. What is it? trying to elevate human society to the perfection of life by pursuing the method described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his advice to the Brahmana Kurma. That is, don't become restless. Stay in your situation. Sthane stitak. Shrutikatam panavan manovir. Same instruction that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted from Ramananda Roy as the goal of life. Stay in your position, whatever that is. I was just hearing Srila Prabhupada in this series of lectures say the same thing in every lecture for five lectures, which was, you don't need to go get some special education. If you have some education, that's all right. If you don't have some education, that's all right. Whatever your position is, be an elephant, be Gajendra. Or be, you know, Ambarish Maharaj or Yudhishthira Maharaj, be a great king, or whatever you are. The qualification is not something material. And you go get something material and then you can have some qualification for devotional service. Whatever your situation is. Engage in hearing and chanting the topics of Krishna. And in so doing, gradually, perfect your life. And as you perfect your life, give that. Whatever it is that you have, give that knowledge of Krishna to others. There's a similar sequence, some parts of it are similar, with Haridas Thakur. You recall from our earlier discussion about Vasudev Dutt's desire to liberate all the living entities in the material world. And in the cosmic manifestation, excuse me, in the entire creation. The Haridas Thakur referred to that conversation and said, Lord Chaitanya, just as Vasudev Dutt said, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You've come into this world to liberate all living entities, and because of this request of Vasudev Dutt, you have done so. You are the most merciful, supreme form of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya protested. He said, what are you talking about? Don't you see all the trees and all the birds and all the animals and all the people and all the living entities? The place is not empty. How can you say this? Please speak reasonably. And Haridas Thakur said, it's true. My Lord, as long as you are situated within the material world, you will send to the spiritual world all the developed moving and non-moving living entities in all the different species. Then again, you will awaken the living entities who are not yet developed and engage them in activities. So, we know the teaching that Supersoul is within the heart of every living being, and Supersoul is within every atom, yes? Shirodakshaya Vishnu. And Krishna is never alone. He's with living entities. Living entities are not alone. They're with Krishna. So, there's the trees, they're the non-moving living entities, and the grass and so on. And then there's the moving living entities, the peacocks and the birds and the squirrels and the insects and all the ants out in the Tulsi house. And you know, there's lots of moving living entities. Us also. His statement is, Lord Chaitanya liberated them all on the plea of Vasudev Dutt and then replaced them with other living entities that were not yet developed so they could have some activity too. And then become later the object of the mercy of a Vaishnava. There are many unmanifested living entities covered by the mode of ignorance who will gradually come to the mode of passion. Most of them will become criminals because of their fruitive activities, and again, fill the prisons. My dear Lord, you have set a plan in motion by descending on the material world, but no one can understand how you are acting. Formerly, when Lord Krishna descended in Vrindavan, he freed all living entities in the universe from material existence in the same way. By descending as an incarnation at Navadvipa, you, just like Krishna, have already delivered all the living entities of the entire universe. Haridas Thakur ki jai. Not exaggeration or imagination. The mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is precisely not just, I mean, the beginning is to take people out of their sinful activity and engage them in proper activity, their performance of their prescribed duties. But it's way beyond that, and beyond liberation, to the stage of achieving their eternal service in relation to the Personality of Godhead. That's at the heart of what is preaching. So there's different stages, just like a seed and the beginning sprouting of that seed, and then the seed shows some leaves, and then there's many leaves, etc., etc., and the plant grows to a mature stature, or the tree grows to a mature stature, and then there's flowers, and then there's fruits. So, preaching or expanding the flow of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, preaching is the essence, fructifies in this regaining of our eternal relation with Krishna. I've had conversations with devotees where they don't doubt that it's the true statement, but they look at themselves and say, how is it possible? In this lifetime, how is it possible? I'm so far from that goal. Honestly speaking, so far from that goal. But that's the two things. That's the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the mercy of Mahaprabhu. Not just in our eternal relation with Krishna in Braja. That's his gift. The full potency is there in that gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to attain that stage. And second is, again repeating Prabhupada's teaching, if it takes us many lifetimes, whatever it takes, that is our goal, that's our prescribed attainment. We can have intermediate steps as our goal, but that's our goal. And using a phrase that Prabhupada used, preaching means that you see a little spark. He moved his hand like this and said, you fan it. That is preaching. And when you continue, turn that spark into a flame. And a very expert preacher, the flame becomes a big blaze. And his eyes got very big. It's a very expert preacher. But preaching is, you see a little spark, and you go like this. Not too much. Not too little. Just right. They have to be very attentive to the spark and how much oxygen the spark can take at one time. And gradually, that carefully, that little spark becomes a flame. That little spark, according to the teachings of Rupa Goswami, that little spark is preliminary faith. Adau Shraddha. One of the things that's important in your reaching out to people, your preaching, your reaching other people, is it's not a problem if they have a different idea. And so you're presenting Krishna consciousness and they have a different idea. It's not like, oh, this, I'm turning this person off because they've got a different idea. If they were anesthetized, they might not have a different idea, but if the light's on, they have something of an idea. So that's okay, different idea. What you need to carefully consider as the spark is being fanned, are they prepared to hear carefully enough that if there's a superior idea, they'll accept that superior idea? It may take a while. Thoughtful people may take quite a while. But if you see there's a genuine interest to understand truth with a capital T, continue fanning that spark. They may not be ready for their eternal relationship with Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan, but they may be ready to understand some of the elementary teachings found in Bhagavad Gita. Start with, you know, who am I? The Fate Museum, the Future American Theistic Exhibition, something like that. The dioramas. Is it still operating in Detroit, the Fate Museum? Who's here from Detroit? Is it operating? Not fully. It's operating fully in Los Angeles. It's been a long time since I've been there, but I very clearly remember one of the exhibits. Of course, there's exhibits of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and Kurukshetra battlefield, Krishna, Partha Sarathi, and Arjuna on the battle. So one of them is you're in this corridor that has mylar mirrors, and all of a sudden the lights go out. And you think you're in India, the lights went out. But it's intentional. And then you hear a British voice saying, a light goes on. A light goes on from the outside so you can only see your reflection. Everyone's looking at the mirror. And the voice says, "Have you ever stopped to think who you really are?" "Are you really that body? Take a good look at yourself. Is that who you really are?" And then some, you know, music, some Mozart or some classical music comes on, nice, nice, soothing music. And along with the music, you hear, dun, 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 dun. It's a heartbeat. And a little light goes on in that changing bodies diorama, and it's the baby in the womb. So the light is indicating the soul, and then he says something about life is actually present, something like this, when within the living entity within the womb. And then that light fades, and then the next light goes on. And this is what we heard yesterday. A crying baby. And then the crying fades, and then you hear the sounds of children playing ball. There's a little boy holding a ball, and you hear children playing in a schoolyard, bouncing a ball, and, you know, little shrill voices of children playing. You know, it goes through the sequence, and all the way down to, you know, the guy holding his money bag, and you hear him counting the money and the coins banging against each other, and he gets to the old age and you hear him coughing. And then the light disappears. Meanwhile, there's this nice classical music going on in the background. And then he explains the transmigration of the soul. So we know the teaching, and how much have we realized that teaching, or how much do we live our life by that teaching? We're not this body. How much conscious are we of that very elementary thing? Anyway, so when fanning the spark, it's important to help people understand basics, and then how those basics apply to their life. Even if it's just encouraging someone to sincerely inquire, or along with what they're doing, take chanting, or along with what they're studying, study Bhagavad Gita, or whatever the appropriate encouragement is. The beginning part is, a lot of it is just genuinely caring for the well-being of that soul. And even if they don't immediately act upon that well-wishing encouragement, the impression of someone that genuinely cares about us, it's strong. Because it's not so common in this world. But to speak of someone that has some genuine spiritual understanding. Anyway, that's our mission, our life, as followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Here's a little definition given from given in Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. When a living entity is dominated by a desire for material enjoyment, he is just like a seed sown in the earth. If a seed is overpowered by too much water, there is no possibility of its fructifying. Similarly, if a man is captivated by material enjoyment, and even if the seed of such enjoyment is within the heart of the conditioned soul, he can be overpowered by a flood of transcendental activities performed in love of God. In this way, his potential seed, the seed of material enjoyment, cannot fructify into a conditional life of material existence. The conditional living entities in the material world, especially in the present age of Kali, are overpowered by the flood of love of God inaugurated by Lord Chaitanya and his associates. So this is another way of looking at what preaching is, or expanding Lord Chaitanya's mercy. It's those activities that facilitate or permit a living entity to not act upon their propensity or their disposition for material enjoyment. Material enjoyment tendency may be there. But if the good fortune of devotee association and the wonderful activities of devotional life, it can make it, if sufficiently abundant, it can make it such that the disposition for material enjoyment doesn't have a chance to fructify. But like this other idea that I mentioned this morning, take a vacation from devotional service. Not a good idea. There's no such thing, by the way, because constitutionally we're servants of Krishna. But the very nature of Maya is at once, and there's no delay. Prabhupada described like this in one lecture in New York. It's not that if we render devotional service and then we think, I'd like a little break from devotional service. I think, Maya, why don't you come? You don't have to call Maya. Immediately she's there, engaging you. Turn your attention away from Krishna, and immediately Maya is there. Turn your attention away from light, immediately shadow is there. Immediately, there's no delay. Absence of light means darkness. Forgetfulness of Krishna and his service immediately. So, means darkness. And to take someone from darkness, it means give the opportunity for devotional service to Krishna. The result of which is the disposition for material activity that that's in the heart that steals away spiritual consciousness doesn't fructify. That's our... It's a loving gesture. It's not a controlling... It's a loving gesture, because the person has to voluntarily accept. So it's a loving gesture. Here's another very nice quote. This is from the fourth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. If a living entity is developed in Krishna consciousness and is merciful to others, and if his spiritual knowledge of self-realization is perfect, he will immediately attain liberation from the bondage of material existence. So in the verse, the attention goes to daya jiveshu, or jivadaya. Jivadaya means having compassion upon the living entities. So a person that, if there's a sequence, well, it's described here. After perfecting himself and understanding his own position as an eternal servant of Krishna, that's a mouthful, one must preach or create the same opportunity for others so they can experience the same. Preaching this is showing real mercy to the living entities. Other types of humanitarian work may be temporarily beneficial for the body, but a living entity is spirit soul. Ultimately, one can show him real mercy only by revealing knowledge of his spiritual existence. So, preaching is the essence. It's the, as I mentioned this morning, not yesterday, it's simultaneously beneficial for the person who is extending it and beneficial for the person who is receiving it. This is exactly what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said to Srila Prabhupada. By taking this up, this will simultaneously be good for you and good for others. Bhadri Narayan, one of my godbrothers, recently sent me a little quote from The Merchant of Venice by Shakespeare that says the same thing. Maybe somebody even knows that little, it's a four-line thing. Something about mercy. Mercy, it has, the essence of it is that mercy has a double benefit. The mercy is beneficial upon those who receive it, and the mercy is beneficial for those who extend it. So it's not a new idea or a quaint idea. It's a universal truth. If we're engaging ourselves in the highest form of welfare work, just as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, this teaching this message of Bhagavad Gita to others, there is no one more dear to me than such a person. So if we want to become, let's assume, we all want to become dear to Krishna. And in Krishna's own words, this act of extending this transcendental knowledge, the message that Bhagavad Gita provides unto others, is the greatest form of compassionate work, welfare work, preaching work, giving others Krishna consciousness. The package in which we place the message of Krishna may be so many different packages. Just like prasadam distribution is a very wonderful way for giving Krishna's mercy to others. That's also preaching. Donna Kelly, I just saw a little interview with yourself that Rajiv put together. You were quoting Srila Prabhupada saying something about prasadam distribution. our secret weapon or something like that. I'll tell a little Prabhupada story from New York about prasadam distribution. When we had had a very wonderful temple in Midtown Manhattan between 7th and 8th Avenue and 55th Street, so great location. 12-story building, and the basement was a restaurant. So because we had a restaurant in that area, there was a CBS studio nearby, so Robert Redford and all those other named people came, I forget all their names, came to our restaurant because they were, doing some work with CBS, and they came over. And Lincoln Center, people from the Lincoln Center office and the Performing Arts Center, so they very much appreciated our restaurant. So they had us cater a major function at Lincoln Center, and I can't remember exactly what the numbers, but this was in the mid-1970s. It was something like $12,000 or $15,000 profit for the temple. And that same summer, I was very active in preaching Krishna consciousness. Oops, you're supposed to say outreach now. So I was arranging festivals all over the city. So one of the places I had a permit at Central Park near the band shelf. For those of you who are other parts of the world, that doesn't mean anything to you. It's like a very well-trafficked, pedestrian-trafficked part of Central Park. So I had a permit from the Parks Department. That very same summer, some organization decided they wanted to have Taste of New York, just like those of you from Chicago, you know what Taste of Chicago is. It's the largest public event in the city of Chicago. And it goes on for a whole week, and there's a zillion, billion people that go there. So somebody got the bright idea, hey, let's do it in New York. And they wanted to have the event near the band shell in Central Park. But there was a problem, because we had a permit. On the very same weekend, they wanted to have it. So I got a phone call, is your name so-and-so? Yes, yes. And would you like to take part in the Taste of New York? I said, well, tell me a little bit about it. What is it? He explained and said, we'll give you, because you have this permit, we can't get our permit unless you allow us to use our event instead of your event on that weekend. So we'll give you a free spot at the Taste of New York. What do you think? That sounds like a good plan. We were planning to have a nice festival. This will make a nice festival. And so, again, I can't remember the numbers, but it was something in the $18,000 to $20,000 profit. Taste of New York. And then, they let us into the next one also. I can't remember if that was free. So these numbers were given to Srila Prabhupada along with our restaurant itself. There was another devotee named Prahlada Priya that had prasadam carts before it was even a thing in New York, where it had street vendors with food. He made prasadam carts, Govinda's prasadam cart. And that was bringing some income to the temple. Plus people were getting prasadam. So Prabhupada said, you will conquer New York through prasadam distribution. So prasadam distribution is also that, people didn't right away get the message of Bhagavad Gita, but they got Krishna prasadam and prepared them for the next time they saw a Harinam party or an invitation to the temple or something to feel disposed. We discussed this agyata sukriti. They're not thinking, oh, Krishna prasadam. They're thinking good vegetarian food. But it's Krishna prasadam, and it's acting spiritually. Or public festivals. And the list goes on. So many ways of extending to others an opportunity. Just to go and have Harinam Sankirtan. There's time. I'll tell you one story. In Before we had the 55th Street Temple, we were residing in a double brownstone, side-by-side brownstone, rented building, four stories tall, in Brooklyn, in a very heavy Italian neighborhood. What that means, heavy Italian neighborhood, means if we left our cars on the street because they wanted the parking spot, they burned our cars at night. That was to say, don't park on the street, because, you know, take your car somewhere else. So instead of telling us that, they just burned the cars. Oh, okay, so, you know, we got a little spot that we rented. And if we had kirtan to allow, they threw rocks through the windows. And sometimes it was Molotov cocktails that would then explode in the middle of the floor. So that means close your windows. Things like that. You know, it was a heavy neighborhood. And one of the activities that we did every day was we went on Harinam. It was every day, whatever devotees didn't have to do some particular service in the temple, we went on Harinam. So to go from where we were, we went out the front door, down a little side street to the Bergen Street subway and the F train, and we got on the F train and we stopped the kirtan and we got out and we went to wherever we were going in the city and then came back in the afternoon. And, you know, from like 10 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we were out in Harinam. And when we came back, it was, for us, it was in time for lunch. And for the school that was right on the, we were on a corner and it was right adjacent to us was another corner property, was a schoolhouse. So the kids got out of school right at the same time we were coming back on Harinam. And the kids would line up. There was a big wrought iron gate, I guess, so they couldn't climb over the gate. They couldn't run away from school. And they'd stand at the iron gate and make fun of us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, and it was every day. Every day, every day. And so, Trivikram Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada, one visit that he was making in New York, that, you know, after class, first question, Srila Prabhupada, when people make fun of our chanting, what should we think of that? And Prabhupada said, oh, that is very good. You know, then it was, yeah, but Prabhupada. And, you know, he said, no, that they're chanting the holy name, even in laughter. It's Hela Namabhas. It's a form of chanting in Abbas stage. It's okay. It's very nice. So we just accepted it. Prabhupada said it was very nice. So we just kept doing the same thing. You know, waving to the kids as they would make fun of us. Some, I don't know, 20 years later or 18 years later or something like that, I was traveling in the airport, believe it or not. And it was, I just very specifically remember it was Northwest because it was a stopover in Detroit and we changed to get into whatever the next switching planes because that's a hub for Northwest. And I was just waiting, you know, there's the waiting lounge. And I was on the other side, you know, just chanting, waiting for the boarding procedure to take place. And down the corridor came a whole group of people, employees, and they were laughing and laughing and laughing, and the whole group came right in front of me, and one of the employees stopped dead center and just looked at me and said, oh no. I didn't know what that meant. Oh my God. He said, I'll see you guys later. So he said, are you Hare Krishna? I said, yes. He said, oh, no. I said, what's wrong? He said, oh, I don't want to tell you. It was so bad. I said, what do you mean it was so bad? He said, well, okay. I used to live in Brooklyn. I said, so did I. We live right near one of your Hare Krishna temples. I said, I lived in the temple. I said, oh no. I was one of those kids in that schoolyard that as you were going by, you know, playing your tambourines and crashing your cymbals and playing your bongo drums, I mean, you're using language like that. So we would sit there and tease and taunt, and we did so many bad things. We threw rock through your windows and we burned your cars. And but you know, you were good people. You would feed people and you never harmed anybody and you always tried to do good for other people. We were so bad. I feel so bad. I said, well, you know, Krishna can forgive you. You seem like you're very repentant. He said, you know, but one thing, that melody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, it would just come into my mind at all different times. Just today, as we were getting out of work, it came into my mind and I started singing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And you know what? My fellow employees, they started laughing at me. And I was thinking, I'm just getting my deserve for all the harassment we gave to all of you. Just now, just at the end, once we're getting off of work. I said, amazing. Please forgive me. And whatever you do, please keep it up. You know that Hare Krishna. It's like, you know, it stays with you. It's like, wow, I'll take this as, you know, Krishna is speaking through you. We should continue this. Thank you very much. He said, I got to go now. Please forgive me. Hare Krishna. Just like that. And I'm not making this up. It's exactly what happened. So who can say who is benefiting from the prasadam that we distribute that's offered to Krishna? And the chanting of the holy name. I have many other stories that are just amazing. I mean, just personally, just encountering people that became changed just from hearing chanting regularly. And they were, you know, inimical or nasty or whatever, crazy. And they became purified just from that regular exposure to chanting. And Prabhupada's books and Devotee Association and all these wonderful channels for extending to others the opportunity to receive that very same mercy that we have received. The act can be very simple. Very simple. But if in our heart there is this desire, even we may feel ourselves unqualified, unfit, etc. Take it as an order upon your head from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Receive. Cultivate very carefully that which you have received, this message. Let it enter into your heart and then let it come out from your heart. However simply expressed it may be, if it's genuinely and sincerely expressed, it'll have an impact. Who can say over a period of time how that will, at least from our side, Lord Chaitanya will be pleased. Krishna and Lord Chaitanya will be pleased. And if we can accomplish that, that's everything. And however they wish to take that small offering and use it for the benefit of others, so be it. And let us, going back to this morning's class, let us try to become further and further pure in heart so that our purpose is fulfilled because our impurities get out of the way. May that day come when our hearts become so pure that the mercy of Lord Chaitanya simply flows in the very simple acts of extending devotional service to others. That's our life. As followers of Srila Prabhupada. I'll just end with this. our founder Acharya is the best of all examples, not at all some distant past. Those of you that may not have had Prabhupada's personal association certainly have had the association of those who have. And we have, Ramabhadra was describing this to me. Imagine if they had video technology during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan at Rath Yatra. And you could see Lord Chaitanya dancing in ecstasy and putting his head on the back of Jagannath's cart, and the cart starting to roll when all the elephants couldn't move the cart. And they didn't have that technology. They have pure devotees reciting that and then recording it in a written form. But with Srila Prabhupada, we have all this video footage of his lectures and his teachings and his manifesting Krishna consciousness. It's a wonderful way of preserving that experience. And so many talented devotees writing their biographies about Srila Prabhupada, and this recent production of Yadubar. It's amazing following Srila Prabhupada. It will open your heart and fill it with a real strong sense of connection with Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, he had that mission. He was considering, how can I possibly achieve this? You read in Lilamrita, and he was sitting in Vrindavan thinking, how is this possible? But the order of my spiritual master is there. There's this wonderful description in Mula Prakriti's book where Srila Prabhupada went wearing sannyas, went to the house of Advaitacharya in Shantipur, and was chanting all day long. And again, at the Chaitanya Gaudiya Math, that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's samadhi, crying profusely. And when elderly pujari saw him sitting there, and I said, he didn't know if he was in ecstasy or what was happening, and asked. He said, my spiritual master has given me an order. I have to fulfill it. But how is it possible? Because I'm not qualified. So we may also have such feelings. We're not qualified. But if the order is there, we must carry it out. And that was Srila Prabhupada's, that very same day, he went to Calcutta and got on the boat and left in that same mood. And where would we be if he didn't take up that mission of the instruction, although feeling himself not qualified to do so? We could say, well, the difference is he was actually qualified and we're not. Which is true. He was qualified and we're not. But the order is there nonetheless, and the order can make us qualified just by taking the order sincerely and carrying it. It can make us qualified. And the mercy of Lord Chaitanya will become manifest in this world. And that's our service. What a wonderful service. Although we have no qualification to do so. It's our order. And that is our life in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So we'll end with that note. Let us try to become faithful servants of Srila Prabhupada and carrying this instruction forward through our lives individually and collectively, and make some, collectively at least, some spiritual impact upon the world by their order. Any comments or questions?